trouble the president is in.
To believe that the president isn't compromised requires such a leap of faith.
I think we have all the proof we need of a scandal that's arguably worse than Watergate.
Do we know if there is still this belief and aspect that the president is working for the Russians? I can't answer that.
The U.S. president possibly working for the Russians, possibly an unwitting pawn.
Now here's what the president said when asked if he was a secret Russian agent.
The president did not directly answer the question.
Why not just say no if that's the answer?
There is tons of proof of potential collusion.
We have dramatic evidence of collusion.
How is it not collusion? How is all of that not collusion?
The collusion piece of this, piece by piece, starting to be built out.
A political hurricane is out there at sea for him. We'll call it Hurricane Vladimir, if you will.
Donald Trump knows. The noose is tightening.
The noose is tightening.
The noose is tightening, if you will.
The noose is tightening around the president.
The noose is tightening.
And I think they're shocked that the noose is tightening and that people might go to jail.
He knows he and POTUS are going to prison.
Well, I think they're all going to end up together in prison, and maybe that's a good
thing. Oh, my God.
You might be in legal jeopardy because of the Mueller investigation. But are you scared that you could go to jail?
The walls appear to be closing in on the president.
The investigative walls are closing in.
He feels the walls closing in.
The walls are closing in.
Trump resigns, quote, once Mueller closes in on him and the family.
Anybody that writes an op-ed and suggests that Donald Trump has not put himself directly in the target of an obstruction charge is just fooling themselves and some very, very stupid, ill-informed readers.
The stack of counts of obstruction of justice that could be fatal to the Trump presidency.
The House is going to have little choice the way this is going other than to start impeachment proceedings.
The subpoena could relate to two areas of the probe that might ultimately lead to Trump's impeachment.
They are the kind of offenses that would call for impeachment hearings.
If someone walked in my office and said I was a subject of a multi-year criminal investigation led by former FBI Director Robert Mueller, I'd wet my pants.
Mueller reminds me of the starfish which gets itself tightly around the clam and uses all its stuff to weaken and pry open the clam.
Michael Malice here. We got a delicious dose of nightshade for you to pry your clam open to. Our top story today, things are really, really, really chaotic overseas. Everyone's taking their victory laps over the nonsense with Mueller, but someone who's not taking a victory lap is Theresa May, Prime Minister of the UK. Lawmakers have voted to rip control of the Brexit process away from the Prime Minister. Working late into this morning, yesterday night, members of Parliament voted to pass an amendment proposed by a cross-party, bipartisan group of lawmakers in hope of finding a Brexit solution. The measure passed 329 in favor, 302 against. The passage of this Letwin Amendment looks to change the rules of Parliament. It allows lawmakers, not the Prime Minister, to set a timetable for debate and subsequent votes on alternative outcomes for Brexit. Tomorrow, members are now expected to control business in the House of Commons in order to hold a series of votes on different Brexit outcomes. This takes power away from the government and allows members of Parliament to put forward business motions relating to the UK's departure from the EU. They've set out details of their plan to consider other Brexit options, and Theresa May has warned more ministers could quit, has been warned that more ministers could quit unless she changes course. What's all she going to do? Where could she change course to at this point? They'll begin voting on alternatives tomorrow in a process likely to continue into next week. What they'll do is they're going to fill out a series of ballots testing support for different ideas. Now, ex-minister Alistair Burt told the Prime Minister must recognize a different answer was now needed. But ex-Brexit Secretary David Davis, I don't like that, warned of impending chaos. It's not impending. This is chaos. When you have Parliament seizing control from the Prime Minister, who is a member of Parliament, that's chaos. As MPs seek to take the initiative, because that's a leadership situation, who's in charge? As MPs seek to take the initiative from the government, there are signs that some Tory opponents of her deal could be holding themselves back holding to back it if it returns to the Commons for a third time later this week. And Jacob Rees-Mogg, who's one of the biggest Brexiteers, said he could be persuaded, given that it now appears to be a choice between her deal and no Brexit at all. I mean, she's been making this case for quite a long time. This is the best deal you can get, so take it or MF and leave it. Boris Johnson, who's former foreign secretary, told the BBC, there's no point supporting her deal without any sign the UK is going to change its approach in phase two of the negotiations. Otherwise, he thought the country would be indefinitely tied to the EU's rules. Okay, never mind. Sorry. I forgot we have another EU story later in the show. That's why I got confused. That's Alzheimer's for you. Groups are now putting forth a variety of different options for the UK's future relationship with the EU. Several of these are based on the assumption that the existing withdrawal agreement with the EU will be approved, albeit with some changes to that controversial Northern Ireland backstop that I've discussed in episodes prior. Others call for a basic free trade agreement with the EU and another referendum on whether Brexit goes ahead. It'll be up to Commons Speaker John Bercow, who we've discussed before, to decide what is voted on. Now, what are the actual options? Let me break it down for you. Number one, a customs union. This means the UK negotiates a new customs union with the EU immediately after it leaves. B, common market. The UK remains in the single market by rejoining the European Free Trade Association and staying in the European Economic Area. It's this a comprehensive customs partnership which would replace the Irish border backstop plan and would accept continued freedom of movement, but with conditions. EFT and EEA. The UK rejoins the EFTA. It signs up to existing EEA rules and obligations, but makes them enforceable through UK courts. This rejects any customs union with the EU, instead seeking agreement on new arrangements for Northern Ireland. The Malthouse Compromise, this is Plan A. Mrs. May's withdrawal deal, but without the backstop, which would be replaced by alternative arrangements. Another referendum. The public votes on any Brexit deal which is passed by Parliament before it's ratified. Revoke Article 50. If the government hasn't passed its withdrawal deal, and members of Parliament would vote on a no-deal Brexit 2 days before the UK's leaving date. If they reject no deal, the Prime Minister would have to cancel Brexit altogether. So according to a copy of a business motion released by Labour's Hilary Benn, there will be about 5 hours of debate on the different options. Now, voting by paper ballot will take place by about at 7 o'clock, this is Greenwich Mean Time, with the results announced by the Speaker, Mr. Bercow, later that evening. This process is likely to continue on Monday, as members of Parliament seek to whittle down options which could command majority support in Parliament. And the government has until April 12th to propose a different way forward to the EU if it can't get its current agreement through Parliament. The EU had agreed to a very short 2-week delay for Britain leaving the EU. So when you here's the thing. It's hard to get a majority when you've got like two bad options. When you've got like eight, it's going to be really hard to get a majority on any of them because people aren't going to like one thing. So I think this is already politically probably the mother of all shit shows. And I don't even know, far worse than the U.S. 2016 election where everyone's like, what the hell's going on? I think far worse than Kavanaugh, because with Kavanaugh, it's like, is he going to be confirmed or is he not, right? With here, it's like, what the fuck? And the trains, there's no brakes on the fucking EU train. There was this 2-week break. But now it's like, what do we do? This is unprecedented. So I love it, of course, as you all know, very, very much. Now, as you all know, my good friend Simon is from Czech Republic. We have news coming out of that lovely, lovely country. The leadership of Czech opposition party, the ODS, their full names are Civic Democrats. They're basically the equivalent of the Republicans, have expelled Václav Klaus Jr. He's the son of ODS founder and former president Václav Klaus from the party. This is according to ODS chairman Peter Fiala. He told this to reporters after the executive council meetings on Saturday. Klaus Jr. was not invited to the executive council's meeting. The ODS last Wednesday distanced itself from his words from previous day when he compared the approval of EU laws to Jewish committees' decision-making on the composition of transports to Nazi concentration camps. The ODS urged Klaus to leave the party, which he refused. He admitted, however, that his comparison was perhaps too draconian. Remember, he's saying, yeah, accepting these rules from the EU is like the Jews accepting which concentration camp they're going to go to. Okay. The clubs, however, I have it on good authority, Simon, that this was just a BS excuse and he's a pain in the ass and he just wanted to get rid of him. The club stated in the resolution that Klaus Jr. had been harming the party by his actions in the long term. The Civic Democrats recall his questioning of the Czech Army's mission in Afghanistan and the support of SPD candidate before the Senate elections last year. He said, if I were a leader of a party with Professor Fiala as a deputy in it, I would never expel him. I wouldn't be afraid of him overshadowing me or messing things up or having other opinions. This is what Klaus wrote in response on Facebook. He said the statement was his last comment on ODS and that, as he said, he'd continue to work with a number of its members in the future. I will try to offer a vision, a positive program, and I promise not to change my mind. For example, I will always defend the sovereignty of the Republic, even if I were the last of the 10 million people. And according to the Czech news agency, his alleged proclaiming abstaining from the European elections was also discussed at the Executive Council's meeting on Saturday. In total, 10 cases of his actions against the ODS were reportedly discussed. And funny news coming out of Congress today, everyone's favorite, AOC, her new deal. Mitch McConnell trolled her hard on Twitter. You can find it on my Twitter feed. The Green New Deal withered in the heat of the Senate today. Republicans delivered a decisive spanking to her plan to reshape American society. Not a single senator backed her bill during the vote. It was a 57-0 filibuster. 43 Democrats voted present, refusing to take a stand on the bill. Republicans said it was a devastating blow to the Democratic Socialist Movement, which called for an upheaval in American energy, overhaul of the construction sector, and the largest expansion in history of the social safety net. The American people will see, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell vowed ahead of Tuesday's vote, they'll see which senators are so fully committed to radical left-wing ideology that they can't even vote no on self-inflicted economic ruin that would take a sledgehammer to America's middle class. The vote left Democrats scrambling for footing. They called the vote a sham, said they'd been ambushed, and never considered her proposal to be a viable option. But Ed Markey, Massachusetts Democrat, who co-wrote the Green New Deal with her, didn't vote yes either. He didn't vote. They just voted present. So this is lulzy. If you go to my Twitter feed, Mitch McConnell's team put out a meme about her. And it's her as a corn cob. There's this old Drill. If you guys don't follow Drill on Twitter, you really should. He's the king of surrealism. His Twitter handle is at WINT. And he had a tweet years ago, which went very viral, which said, I'm not owned, I'm not owned, I screamed as I slowly turned into a corn cob. And for that, that's a really kind of inside baseball reference with like meme culture. This is not something like lolcats or something stupid, or I Can Has Cheeseburger, or Mean Girls GIFs. You got it? If you just go to my Twitter feed, it'll say best timeline. It's one of the top 10 tweets, I would say. I can put up my Twitter right here. And they took that tweet. I hate explaining memes, by the way, but this has to be there's a backstory here. It's like an hour ago. It's the seventh tweet. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Scroll down. There she is. If you click on that picture of her, and they made a GIF of her turning into a corn cob. Now, technically, it's an ear of corn. It's not the cob. But I can't fucking believe that they took that reference and applied it to her, because her social media game is very strong. Very, very strong. She's like, oh, I'm young, I'm perky. Look at me, I'm dancing in the hall. Here's what it's like being a congresswoman. I'm letting guys into my world. And now they went the 4chan route with her. So they've got someone really smart in that office, because Mitch McConnell is not someone who knows how to use memes. Mitch McConnell has polio. He doesn't know how to use stairs. Let's move on to, we're flying through these stories. This is some really really, really bad news. Something I talked about in the past, I think it was Nick Monroe on this show broke this story for us, or broke it down. The European Parliament has voted to adopt the highly controversial Article 13, which governs the production and distribution of content online under the auspices of increasing copyright protection. Now, today's move will update the EU's 20-year-old copyright rules and will govern audiovisual content, much to the dismay of many social media users. Now, however, the Parliament said in a statement that sharing memes and GIFs has been protected even more than it was before, and they'll continue to be available and shareable on online platforms. Members of the European Parliament passed the legislation by 348 votes to 274 today. Opponents had hoped for last-minute amendments to be made, but their efforts were in vain. Now, Giulia Reda, who is a German member of the European Parliament with the Pirate Party, who are all about free information, that's what the Pirate Parties are for in every country, described it as a dark day for internet freedom. Article 13, with the very, very Orwellian name of the Directive on Copyright in the Digital Single Market, makes all platforms legally responsible for the content hosted and shared on their platforms. Think about what that means. If I put up something on Twitter that CNN doesn't like, they can legally hold Twitter responsible. So there is a huge impetus for Twitter to overcompensate and not have things that powerful people don't like. This is what's bringing down Craigslist. It's a very similar thing. They talk about those sex trafficking laws. You're not going to be for sex trafficking, are you? Of course I'm not for sex trafficking. Well, if sex trafficking happens on Craigslist, Craig, you're responsible now. What the fuck? So all that missed encounter stuff, that's just getting all shut down. The process of updating the bloc's copyright laws began in the European Commission 2 years ago, ostensibly to protect Europe's publishers, broadcasters, and artists, and guarantee fair compensation from big tech. Fair meaning whatever I like. Fair has no meaning in a market context. The onus will now be on tech companies to clamp down on content sharing on their platforms, which will likely ensure even more draconian policing of speech and content. EU member states now have 2 years to pass their own laws, putting Article 13 into effect. Tens of thousands marched in protest across Germany ahead of the vote, decrying what they viewed as severe online censorship. Google said that while the directive is improved, it will still lead to legal uncertainty and will damage Europe's creative and digital economies. Corporations, by their nature and understandably, tend to be risk-averse. So if the question becomes, do I shut down this account which is putting out memes, or am I going to roll the dice? You can very easily see legal be like, you're going to have to shut this down. Critics have argued the only way for Article 13 to be effectively enforced would be through the use of upload filters, which automatically check content to see if it's copyrighted or not, at least in theory. However, the exact mechanics of such a system have yet to be fully debated, and the potential for abuse is immediately clear. This is the idea that we're going to force freedom is crazy, in my view. Next week on You're Welcome, I'm going to have Will Chamberlain, who's the new publisher of Human Events, the long gone and now resurrected conservative magazine. It's going to be a website with under Rahim Hassam's leadership. Will is very much for regulating social media, and I can't wait to debate him on this. Because, I mean, does anyone here who's pro freedom in any sense think EU bureaucrats are on your side? Just think, I mean, if your eyes are closed, you don't have information. Is that what your gut's telling you? Your gut is often right with stuff like this. I could be wrong, but I'm not. And let's move on to, one day after everyone's taking a victory, after the Republicans taking a victory lap about no collusion, this happens. Jesse Smollett, they dropped all the charges against him. Rahm Emanuel, mayor, strongly condemned the Cook County State's office decision to drop all charges, and he called it, good thing he's not a Republican, because he called it a whitewash of justice. He says, this is a whitewash of justice. He said this today, this afternoon, during a press conference alongside Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson. A grand jury could not have been clearer. All charges against Smollett were dropped this morning by the Cook County State's Attorney's Office. The Empire Star was indicted on 16 felony counts of disorderly conduct earlier this month. He was accused of lying to police regarding a January 9th, 29th incident in which he said he was randomly attacked by two men shouting racial and homophobic slurs in his Chicago neighborhood. Hashtag this is MAGA country. Johnson also heavily criticized the decision. He goes, can we get a picture of Johnson? I think he's black. I'm 99% sure he's black. Johnson also heavily criticized the decision, saying, do I think justice was served? No. He said he stands behind the work of the detectives. He goes, I've heard that they wanted their day in court with TV cameras so America could know the truth. But no, they chose to hide behind secrecy and broker a deal to circumvent the judicial system. I stand behind the detective's investigation. Smollett's attorney, Patricia Brown Holmes, said during an earlier press conference today there was no deal to get the charges dropped, saying the state dismissed the charges. He himself spoke shortly after her, reiterating that he had been he's still doubling down. He'd been truthful and consistent on every level since day one. I would not be my mother's son if I were capable of one drop of what I've been accused of. Mm-hmm. In a statement on Twitter, Anthony Guglielmi, the chief communications officer for the Chicago Police, added, do we have a picture of him? Yeah. Added, Chicago police detectives did an excellent investigation, and their work was reaffirmed by an independent grand jury who brought 16 criminal counts. It's not like the cops and the prosecutors did this independently. They went before a grand jury of citizens, just like you or me, just like you. And they said, here are the charges. And those citizens looked at the evidence and said, is there enough here to go forward and return what they call a true bill? Meaning this is not just smoke. There is fire here. 16 counts. He goes, in our experience, innocent individuals don't forget bond and perform community service in exchange for dropped charges. After reviewing all the facts and circumstances of the case, including his volunteer service in the community, an agreement to forfeit his bond to the city of Chicago, we believe this outcome is a just disposition and appropriate resolution to this case. This is according to the state's attorney general. Jesus Christ. Rahm Emanuel, frequently pointing his finger at the camera and raising his voice, he's missing half a finger, by the way, which is really funny, argued the grand jury's decision was reason for going forward with the case against Smollett. He pointed out that the grand jury handed out these indictments based on only a piece of the evidence that the police had collected, and added that $10,000 that Smollett is forfeiting doesn't even come close to what the city spent in resources. Both Emanuel and Johnson remained adamant that he had committed a hoax by falsely reporting a hate crime. We have the check. He paid them by check. If he wanted to clear his name, the way to do it was in a court of law so that everyone could see the evidence. That's from the police chief. Emanuel said Mr. Smollett is still saying that he is innocent, still running down the Chicago Police Department. How dare him? How dare him? After everyone saw, and I want to remind you, this is not the superintendent's word against his. A grand jury, a sliver of the evidence, and they came to a conclusion, as did the state's attorney's office. Emanuel also condemned the justice system at large, saying the decision sends a clear message that if you're in a position of influence and power, you'll get treated one way. Other people will get treated another way. There's no accountability then in the system. It is wrong, full stop. He ended by going after Smollett again, saying that his comments earlier on Tuesday prove he still has no sense of ownership of what he's done. This is a person now who has been let off scot-free with no sense of accountability of the moral and ethical wrong of his actions. The Empire Star, who plays the openly gay Jamal Lyon on the Fox hip-hop soap, was originally charged with one felony count for filing a false police report last month. Smollett and his attorneys continuously denied any wrongdoing throughout the criminal proceedings as police accused the actor of staging the attack himself. Smollett appeared in court March 14th, not that long ago, to plead not guilty to 16 counts of disorderly conduct after being accused of lying to police regarding a January 29th incident in which he said he was randomly attacked by two men shouting racial and homophobic slurs in his Chicago neighborhood. And the Empire Studio, 20th Century Fox TV, said in a statement of its own, "Jussie Smollett has always maintained his innocence, and we're gratified that all charges against him have been dismissed." So this is really, really, really a very funny timeline. Now, we got a couple minutes left. I want to throw up Night Rage because something happened to me today, and it was really rage-worthy. It's going to take a second. Oof, I'm still kind of triggered about it. And I'm triggered about it. Well, there were two. This is at the mall, the Atlantic Mall. Rage is most rageful when it's exponential, okay? Every day, I have a little yogurt. I have it from Chobani, high-protein Greek yogurt. I like the taste. I like the texture. It makes me happy. If you go to Target, we have them here now. They're a buck, okay? Fine. I go there. I always get the same flavor because I don't, whatever. I like my blackberry. I like my pomegranate. They had the four packs. The four packs were $3.89. Oh, why am I paying $4 for four when I could pay $3.89 for four, right? Right. I take it. I go to self-checkout. Ring it through. $4.29. No, $4.39. So it's $1.10 each. I am paying more for the bulk purchase than I was paying for the regular. But the sign said $3.89. So I'm out 50 cents. And I'm like, okay, my Jew brain kicks in. What do I do? It's the self-checkout. There's a girl there, but there's no mind there. So as I'm swiping the rest of my products, my Cookie Crisp, my Kool-Aid Squirt, I'm on the phone. I'm like, all right, I'll pull up the price on the phone because I'm not going back taking a picture of the sign and coming back to her. I'll pull up the price on the phone and then I'll be like, look, back there it says $3.89. Give me my 50 cents. 50 cents is at the point where it's like, okay, I'm a little annoyed that they're taking this money from me. If you go, you can look at it yourself. If you go to Target.com and you type in Chobani to see the four-pack, how much it costs. Do you guys know what it says on the website? You don't have to look. Just take a guess because I know the answer. So then I'm on this stuff checkout. I take a guess.
$1.10-ish.
I say $1.29.
No, for the four-pack.
Oh, $4.30.
Okay. That's a good guess, right?
Yeah.
I'm on the I did give myself a good guess. I'm the asshole who's on his phone on self-checkout while there's a line because it looks like I'm texting someone. So if I'm watching, I would hate me, which is hard to do because I'm very likable. I finally get to it. If you go to Target.com and look at the Chobani 4-pack, it says, check price at store. The fuck? So I'm like, fuck this. I'm out 50 cents. I had to blow up my Target and kill. And by the way, this Target is known on the internet, and I don't know what metric they use, as the worst Target in America. And this really kind of grinds my gears. And then I went to Uniqlo, got a shirt. It was $5.90. I gave the cashier $11. Squid Ink was voided. She tried to hand me the dollar back. I go, no. This way you could give me a five. And she's like, change is the same. Yeah, I know it's the same numerically, but it's easier to give me a $5 bill than four singles. And then she hands it back the five. And she goes, change is the same. Yeah, that's the point, that it's the same. It's the same mathematically, but it's not the same physically. So as far as night rages go, this was a pretty mild one, but I've been having a pretty good week. And I hope I hope you have been too. Friday, I'm going to be flying to L.A. just for a weekend jaunt. And Friday during the day, I'll be recording the last segment of the book. But until then, I will see you all tomorrow. And I wish you all sweet dreams.